What's up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast. I'm guess who? Jason.
And I'm Lucy.
Never would have guessed. And this is The Walking Dead Cast, episode 488.
And this episode, we're going through your feedback for The Walking Dead, season 11, episode 21, Outpost 22. And if you hear any bangs in the background, it's almost bonfire night in the UK. And I think my neighbours are setting off fireworks a little early, so apologies about that.
What's bonfire night?
It's Guy Fawkes Night on the 5th of November, where we set off loads of fireworks and burn effigies of a man called Guy Fawkes who tried to blow up Parliament in the 17th century.
So it's like an anti-person night?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's interesting.
Like a night filled with hate and vengeance?
Yeah, something like that. It's kind of morphed into more like, yay, fireworks night, but originally like, screw this guy for trying to burn down Parliament, but now I think we're more like, hell yeah. They also love him in York. I think they think he was born here or something, so yeah.
It reminds me, I was in India like 10 years ago, and they have a holiday called Holi, where you probably see it in Bollywood movies a lot, where people throw colored powder and water on each other.
Yes. And
I got some thrown at me, and it was awesome. And I was like, so what is this holiday? And everyone I asked, they were like, well, it has something to do with this, or I'm not really sure. And I'm like, you don't even know what your own holiday is? And then I realized, what the hell is a Christmas tree? I think it's a pagan, I don't know.
Yeah. Have you ever listened to, it's one of my favorite things, David Sedaris talking about Christmas, and he's explaining it to like a class full of English language learners, and it's just really funny because he finds all their traditions really weird, and then he starts explaining like American and British traditions, and they're like, what the hell? Who's this Santa dude? What are you talking about?
Right.
It's very
the
good.
Easter bunny lays chocolate eggs. Why?
Yeah.
Does that have to do with Jesus?
he give of the eggs. It's so great.
Anyway, all right. That's enough pre-show banter. Let's get into our listener moans, groans, and grunts.
Dobolino Bob Grippy says, I have to say, I liked it. So that was good feedback, constructive.
Yeah, very good. Let's dive into that and see if we can help answer.
Let's unpack that.
It does remind me of the YouTube video where the woman tries kombucha for the first time. You ever seen that?
Oh, yeah, that meme where she's like,
No, Gloria Cruz says, I have to say, I love this episode. One of my favorites in a long time. Wait, let's think. I can't remember. This show is zombies. No, Outpost
the train.
22. The train. The chain gang.
Mm-hmm.
Negan.
Alexandria.
Ezekiel. Oh, yeah. Outpost 22 is okay. Good. All right. Now I'm getting it. it had great interactions, and our characters were out together and in the open again, so we like that. With our main characters, it was out in the woods, which I like. There was a train heist, which was exciting. There was a child zombie, which was sad. There was a cute moment with Connie and Daryl. Oh yeah, that's right. I could have just read this. She was reminding us of everything. The ending had Maggie giving a badass speech about taking their home back. I mean, so good. I'm so excited for the next episode. Hear.
Yeah,
and I've heard it's good too. I haven't seen it, but.
And thank you for the summary as well, Gloria. Yeah. Have I watched the next one yet? I can't remember. Everything's blurring into one. Steve Barr says, felt like a filler episode with bits like the comedy railroad switch, the you shoot, I shoot gunfight around the train, getting the life stories of two Commonwealth captives before they die, and the overly friendly radio operator. Couldn't there have been a short montage of a couple of our group following the train and this episode have been mostly them sneaking into Alexandria and freeing the rest? Jason, did Negan repent when talking to Ezekiel? Oh boy.
Nope.
I think we covered that,
next.
Didn't we?
Yeah.
We said, I think it was good effort, but no.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he went some ways there, but it wasn't enough for me.
Yeah.
But gunfight, you shoot, I shoot. That's how gunfights work. What do you want?
Back and forth. To me, to you.
Tefane Tebolt says, best episode since the end of the Whisperer's arc for me. It had that feeling from previous seasons, maybe because it was centered on characters I actually care about and ended up in a familiar place. I'm worried for Herschel after that episode. I don't think he's getting a ticket for New York. Oh. I didn't even think about that. What about Herschel? Oh boy. And I loved Ezekiel for voicing out loud what lots of us are thinking about Negan. Me too. But I'm still not buying the redemption arc at all. Yeah, what about Herschel? Like, I don't think they're going to kill off Herschel. So maybe he'll have a babysitter.
Yeah, I doubt he'll die, but he might be kept off screen for quite a while. That's my theory. I don't think we're at the point where we're killing kids this late in the season.
I mean, it is a series, though, so you've got to wonder. What maybe he'll be like strapped to Maggie's back or something. I guess he's a little big for that.
Fudging depressing would it be if the whole thing is just Maggie mourning Herschel and Negan being there? Good Lord.
That does not sound like fun. Ugh.
No. Rita Cantanella Orell says, I was really bummed by the reunion between Connie and Daryl. This would have been a great moment for a kiss or at the very least a passionate embrace. Why are they doing this to us? Yeah, they're kind of holding that hope of a teasing kiss out there, aren't they?
Yeah. Do you think it's going to happen?
I hope so. I hope so, just to like cleanse the palate of Leah. But yeah, we'll see.
Wash that taste out of his mouth. I don't think it's going to happen for some reason.
It feels like it's gone off the boil a little bit. Like, I still love it, but it feels like not quite as, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like when you're flirting with somebody and then you kind of miss the window.
Yeah, you know exactly. I mean? You're like, right. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Didn't happen. But on the other hand, when Daryl just sat there grinning at her and giggling, it looked like a different person to me.
And oh, it's so cute.
I know. I love that. Okay. Elizabeth Schmoopy says, I'm hating the plot armor.
You and me both, Elizabeth. It's just
especially with this Negan thing where he's like saying suggesting he's gonna sacrifice himself.
I know,
and we're like, no, he's not.
No, he's like, I'm going to go and do this, and it's like, nah, you're not, mate. You're like, you've got a spinoff. It's fine. Your child's name will be Spinoff. Rebecca Cantu Davidson says, I have not been this nervous for our group in a long time. I was holding my breath the entire episode. I loved that we got a train heist. We got a car chase a few episodes ago and now a train heist. I love it. I was convinced that Negan, Ezekiel, and them were headed off to be bees, aka zombie test subjects for the CRM. Glad that didn't happen. I'm sure that's where Connie was headed, though. I'm in such denial that it's almost over. However, I'm grateful that the suspense is finally building and hopefully setting up for a good ending. Now I need to know where the kids are.
Yeah, where are those kids? In daycare. The whole CRM thing, Angela Kang, maybe, I don't know if she was trying to throw people off the scent, but in a recent interview, she was pretty much like, oh yeah, no, we never talked about that. So I hope she's lying.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope she's doing a gimpole there.
Yeah, maybe she's learned. Because that's one thing, I love Angela Kang, love her writing, love her as a person. When I read her interviews, I often don't include them in the news because she just sounds like she's doing a podcast about her show and really explaining everything about it. And I'm like, I want to figure that out. I don't want to read it from her. Anyways, Wyman Owen says, great episode. Saw lots of our people. Rosita got the F-bomb. Some gross kills. I worry that with only 3 episodes left that a bloodbath is coming and where we're going to lose some of those people. These people who we've watched grow and evolve for the past 11 seasons. I'm not ready. So not ready. Okay, maybe it wasn't so brief. And I took out the part of the beginning where he said he was going to be brief. And I just want to add a huge thank you to the host of this podcast, Jason, Karen, Lucy, Rima, and the many more whose names escape me. Thank you for all the hard work and efforts. This podcast has added to my enjoyment of the show 1,000%. I'm going to truly be sad when this is over.
Oh, Wyman. We always love hearing from you.
Yeah, I'm glad you named a couple of other people there. And it's been so fun over the course of this podcast to bring in a bunch of different people and then to expand out to Podcastica and have more and more people be a part of it and see them develop their voices and everything. And I should probably just be modest, but I really think that you and I have just been kicking ass lately, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It's been really fun.
It's all the drinking. It's all the drinking and drug taking that goes on behind the scenes. It's hedonistic.
We've learned over the years. Learned. Just more
Yeah,
drugs,
I'm drunk right now.
Right. I'm high, so.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. What are we talking about? Handmaid's Tale? Yeah, it's cool. Neaton's great.
Go to podcastica.com. That was the gist of what
that
I was
it. Yeah, go there. No, go kidding. There. I'm eking out the last of Rima and Kristen's House of the Dragon coverage. Yeah, nice. It's so good. So good. And Rennie's book talk is just incredible.
Yes.
I love it.
Jonathan on Andor, and his buddy James, they put a bunch of little Star Wars sound effects in there in between the segments, and they have cool segments like Star Wars Question of the Week, which this week it's what house or building in Star Wars would you most want and what feature of it would you pitch as a real estate agent or something like that.
Just
clever things like that. So they're really
having
fun with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I'd want to live in Baby Yoda's little like floating pram just because it looks lazy and fun. and it looks warm. Right? Peter. Yeah. Brad Holt says, I enjoyed this episode. I do hope they wind up the Commonwealth arc in the next two and allow the final 90-minute episode to be a denouement for the entire series and setups for the spin-offs.
Too.
Is it 90 minutes?
I don't know about that, but I like the idea of
it'd be good if
having
it
be a denouement, as he says.
Yeah.
I think that means like epilogue, right? Something like that.
Yeah, that was like the best legacy of Game of Thrones, I think, was the second to last episode being the big thing and then the last episode being what comes next. So I'm kind of with you on that, Brad. After seeing the conversation between Negan and Ezekiel, I think Negan will lose his wife and unborn child and will finally get his karmic punishment for his past actions. He's been saying that he hasn't forgotten what he did and deserves anything bad that happens to him. I think that chicken is going to come home to roost. Maybe that sense of loss will allow he and Maggie to be on the same page for their series. Oh, and the scene with Maggie and the child walker was so touching. Oh, thanks, Brad.
I can definitely see that happening. I don't know. It seems kind of like the predictable thing at this point, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Kelly Burgess says, felt like a big setup episode. I like where the story's going, but wish they didn't feel like they had to spell it out as much. I don't know what's going to happen next. I started to wonder if Daryl will get captured and become a Designation 2 and get taken to France. Plus, will Maggie and Designation 2 means European vacation.
Vacances dans le Paris.
Oh, c'est très bon, très bon. Plus, will Maggie and Negan be on the search for their families? That could be. Mm. Not sure how satisfying of an ending that would be, although I think there will be a time jump at the end, so the spinoffs could be about what happens between now and then. Yes, that's what some people have been suggesting, that there will be there'll be a time jump, but then we're going to see in the spinoffs how they got to whatever we see at the end of the time jump. But then that would also sort of kill tension as far as being afraid some people would die. Although I guess like in a series called Daryl Dixon, Daryl Dixon's probably not going to die. So
the only situation I think it is acceptable in is if we see Rick and Michonne rock up and then their spinoff is how did they get there? I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, because neither of them are characters who...
That's a good point,
could plausibly be killed off. But it won't be, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, I could actually totally see them doing that. Yeah, that'd be cool. Because it would be weird if they showed up and then you see what happens after that, because we want to know what happened before. Like, where the hell were you?
It's like a record scratch. Like, you might be asking yourself, how did I get here? Well, and then like...
That's a secret.
Yeah.
Kelly goes on, my favorite scene was the one between Negan and Ezekiel. I really can't wait to hear what Jason and Lucy thought about it. It was good seeing some of the characters get back together, especially Daryl and Connie. The end of the episode had me anxious for the next one. Can't believe how close we are to the end. I love that scene too with Negan and Ezekiel.
Yeah, I hope we didn't disappoint, Kelly. Christy Bowen says, I agree with your comments. The dialogue in this episode was really bad. I actually laughed out loud at Negan and his wife. Can't even remember her name. I care so little about that relationship. Oh, Christy, did we just become best friends? Basically explained to the viewer that Maggie, Gabriel, and Rosita were missing. Reminded me of Basil Exposition. Oh my God, yes. Character from Austin Powers, I believe. Very, very good reference. Even the scene where they realized they were arriving at Alexandria. Did they really need to spell out through the walkie dialogue that our beloved characters once lived there? There's too much explaining and not enough inference. It's becoming similar to Fear the Walking Dead, which I gave up on last series. I wish I could say I was still enjoying The Walking Dead, but sadly I feel like I'm just hanging on to find out what happens to our favorite characters and to see if Rick comes back. If he doesn't, then we riot. Agreed.
I mean,
well, actually no, I'm enjoying it, but I agree that we riot.
I think you and I both thought that the dialogue wasn't quite up to par in this last
episode.
Yeah, we did
say that. Yeah. Right?
And I think this is sort of along the same, in that same vein. But I have to admit that I did, like, when I watched it second time and they roll up on Alexandria and I'm like, oh yeah, that's the wall at Alexandria. And it says on the sign, Alexandria. And then when the gate opens, you see Alexandria inside. But on my first watch, I didn't realize it was Alexandria until the person in the over the radio said it was Alexandria. So it's for people like me that they have all these different ways of,
like,
saying
what?
The same thing. What's going on?
Huh?
By the way, viewer, but anyway, I should have been more aware of that. But she said something else. Negan's wife is Annie. I actually am more interested in that relationship than a lot of people. I think it's pretty interesting that he decided
to
change his ways a little bit.
Yeah, here's what I'll say. I think Annie's great. I think she's a strong character. But I hate that she's essentially being used to redeem his character. That bums me out. I'm like, couldn't we have seen her be an interesting person in her own right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I'm not super into it, but
I understand what you're saying. I also feel like storytelling is hard because you have these characters and you want to put them through different things, and that often involves other people. And so, yeah, those other people are brought in kind of as a tool, and then the best stories and writers just have them become their own characters in their own right. But Walking Dead has so many people that even the main characters barely get enough time to be fleshed out anymore, you know?
Yeah, it's
so
true.
I'm a little bit more forgiving of that with her, but I do agree. I mean, as we said, the predictable thing is that she's going to die, and then we're going to see how that impacts Negan. That's been the case over the course of The Walking Dead. Someone dies so we can see how it will impact the other characters, you know? It's just what they do on this show.
Maybe she'll, like, bash Negan's head in with a baseball bat and we'll be like, Annie was fucking awesome.
Right. And then you see the spin-off title that says Maggie and Negan, and Negan gets crossed out and it says Annie instead.
I'd watch that. I'd watch the hell out of that. I'd be like, that's amazing.
Kara Rex says, I like this episode and it gave me some hope in terms of how they're going to wrap up the series with a group focused on taking back Alexandria. Lauren Cohan's performance was particularly powerful for me this week. Seeing her embrace that child walker before she could bring herself to kill him was just painful, especially knowing how terrified she is that she will lose Herschel. Also, I wish we had more Maggie and Carol content over the years because I love seeing them interact. They're both such strong women, and I felt like we missed out on some excellent potential material. I mean, I read also from Angela Kang that she was like, yeah, before we're coming down to the end, what scenes do we want to see? And one of them was just, we haven't had a good Maggie Carol scene in a while, so that's why they figured out how to make that happen.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, it was good. Favorite and very pertinent quote as we get down to the final episodes, quote, people remember the last thing you do. The end of a story is very important. Father Gabriel. Totally. I didn't even get the significance of that. He was talking about that one random soldier, but it's also very much about the series as a whole. I love that.
Yeah.
Side note, did anybody else get some Return of the Jedi vibes with that bike chase in the forest? I think that's what you said, right?
Very much, yes. Endor. Indeed. Yeah, I like it. I'm like, lean into it. It's great. That's wonderful.
See a little, bunch of little like teddy bears swinging by.
I bloody love an Ewok. But there's a kind of dog. I think it's, is it Pomeranians? There's a kind of dog that I call an Ewok dog, and I get so excited when I see them. I'm like, it's an Ewok. it's not. It's a dog. Bob Oak says there was a lot to like about Outpost 22, aka Alexandria. It was a good episode. My favourite part was Father Gabriel recognising and talking to the dying common trooper. When the trooper asked Gabriel to pray with him until the end, and Father Gabriel sat down and pulled out his Bible, I felt like we were getting the most authentic Father Gabriel of the series. Father Gabriel has been a lot of things since we met him. Coward, traitor, warrior, priest, leader, counsellor, and more. But in this moment, I feel we got the Father Gabriel that he has always wanted to be. I loved that moment. Oh, Bob, that's really nice. I really like that observation. He goes on, I know we are close to the end, but I am frustrated with how the show plays fast and loose with time and distance. Sometimes it feels like Alexandria and the Commonwealth are impossibly far apart, and other times they seem so close. And how long had Alexandria been a functioning outpost? The timing is jarring to me. That said, I do like they have made Alexandria a major set piece in these last three episodes, especially given how important it has been to the series as a whole. Long live King Jerry. Yay!
Well, it's monarch. Like 430 miles away or something like that, but they're on train, so
yeah that's true. Trains go fast.
Yeah. And the stuff about Father Gabriel, I felt some of that too. Like, okay, he's actually being a preacher here, but because of all those other things, he's been a traitor, a warrior. I mean, he's been really ruthless a lot of times. Just goes in and kills people more than once, you know. Like the Whisper in the cell, Dante, didn't he kill him?
Oh God, yeah. That was his darkest moment, I think. He really went kind of crazy there. Yeah.
And then he killed the T-1000. And he just, so I was just thinking, he's going to kill this guy. It's hard not to get that out of your head, you know, no matter how nice he's being.
He's just become, he's just over it sometimes, I think. He's just like, I'm done, fuck you.
He's like, I don't hear God's voice today, so.
Yeah. What's that, God? You're not talking to me today. Bad luck. And then, like, kills people. I'm like, oh.
At least he's not saying, God told me to do this.
Yeah.
Tyler Scheel says, getting worried about the pacing and how little it feels like we have left now. If only they'd have made the decision to end it before the start of the season had already been planned. It's painful how much time we wasted with the Reapers and Leah, and now this is feeling so rushed. The Designation 2 thing is giving me real CRM vibes. We know there were a lot of missing people, and I still don't think they're all accounted for. If the train was to link there, it could explain where people are going, and would confirm that the two communities are aware of each other, as there's no way they wouldn't be by this point. I think this would also give them that way to tie this into the CRM stuff, and however they want to move in that direction. I hope you're right. I think that would be awesome.
That seems sound.
It might not, but yeah.
Yeah. Nathan Moas says, I'm loving the mystery of the trains. How many are there? Who or what do they transport? Where are they going? Also, the group being separated and searching for trains gave me flashbacks to season 4B where everyone was split up and trying to find Terminus. Yes, Nathan, when they were walking along the train line, I was like, uh-oh. Yeah. Particularly the couple of shots with Maggie following the train line. Oh, we are of a mind. It was one of my favourite times in the show, so nice to have that callback. It's also great to move on from Lance and to be outside of the Commonwealth. Okay, no, sorry.
You lost
it. Friends anymore. We're done now. It feels like a great big breath of fresh air. And I have to say that Father Gabe easily had the best two lines in this episode. Firstly, when he said, people remember the last thing you do, the end of each story is very important. I'm sure we all felt that this was pretty on the nose, but it was also very comforting and gave me a lot of hope for the show's ending. The whole scene was great, in my opinion. And then secondly, when he said, quit bitching and move forward, I have to write that one on my bathroom mirror.
What if that was the very last line of the series?
Quit bitching and move forward. Like, yeah, fair
go,
play.
Go watch the spinoffs, assholes.
Absolutely.
What did he? Oh, yeah. I mean, this is what I read. The Lance thing, I like Lance a lot. I would like to see, not Lance a lot, but Lance the character a lot. I'd like to see.
Oh my God, imagine if that was his name, Lancelot Hornsby.
It might be his full name. He's your knight in shining armor. Just leaving the Commonwealth, he says it feels like a great big breath of fresh air. And even though I like the Commonwealth story, I kind of agree with that. And I think that's good storytelling to an extent, as long as they don't overstay their welcome in the place that, you know, then when they go back to something else, it's like a relief a little bit. It's a nice feeling.
It's a good balance.
Yeah, balance. You got to balance it. Jody Langridge says, I enjoy any episode where our group is split up but working towards a common goal. The reunions just tug harder on our heartstrings. Yeah, me too. Who would have thought we would get a good old-fashioned train heist this many years in? Hearing that train horn was weird, almost like Rick hearing that helicopter the second time around. That train conductor was saying train four on the radio. Does this mean there are three others? And where are they heading, if there is? It was awesome seeing the realization of helplessness on Negan's face in this episode. When the boss guy on the bus states they have no names, yep, there ain't no Negan here, sunshine. Yeah, about the different trains, there's also, I was thinking, you know, it's Outpost 22, so there's at least 21 other outposts out there. So I think they're really expanding, you know. That's what I presume. She goes on, am I a bad person if I laughed out loud super hard when Negan got smashed in the head?
No.
An itty bitty dash of karma for him, perhaps. Although I did enjoy his shelve that shit line to Zeke. Me too. They are now reluctant allies. Love Daryl and Connie together. He just seems smitten with her. I enjoyed all the scenes with our OGs and can't believe how much I care about Gabe now, considering I disliked him a lot in the beginning. Yeah. I bet there's been so many people who have expressed that exact same sentiment. Still probably directly to Seth Gilliam's face. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, thanks. He says, still worrying about how much time there's left to wrap this up. I mean, she says, but I guess I need to trust they know what they're doing. Thanks so much for making me laugh a lot every week listening to you guys. It makes my day. Thanks, Jody.
Oh, thanks, Jody. Sadie Wright says, Jason, Ezekiel was totally on your wavelength. When he was calling Negan out on the face ironing, I was totally thinking of you. And it occurred to me that of our group, Ezekiel and Jerry have known Negan the longest. So, Outpost 22 is Alexandria. Does that mean our group was never free to go before Eugene played that tape? Because if it's turned into some kind of internment camp / hard labor outpost, it seems they'd likely not have been able to go. This episode was all about callbacks, which makes sense as they wrap it up. I absolutely loved all of Gabriel's scenes, he and Rosita with their strained relationship and worry about their daughter, and especially his scenes with the common trooper. Such a lovely nod to the growth he's gone through, from coward locking out his congregation when he tells the trooper he's a coward and how fear can change you, and about how people remember the last thing you do and how you want your story to end. Nice call it to his character arc, and makes me worry about him getting killed. Felt like a goodbye. Ooh, I share your worries, Sadie. Carol and Daryl, always such intense chemistry. When she brought up the cave, letting Daryl know she understands and has his back no matter what, but to...
I think there's a typo in there.
Okay, but it's okay to be smart. No, hang on.
But what she said is, she was saying something about, you know, you go off on your own and it has consequences, and we need to learn from the past, or something like that.
We all need to learn from my mistake.
My thought was that's you're talking about yourself there, Carol, because she's the one who caused the cave in with Connie. She mentioned the cave, and then after that, she just went off on her own and kind of wreaked havoc.
Carol's just like, look, we've all made mistakes. And everyone's like, not really. Right. She's like, no, we've all made mistakes.
You know how we're all impulsive and reckless?
Everyone's no.
I was listening to the podcast, I guess, as I was editing. Sometimes I hear what you're saying more when I'm editing than I do in the moment.
I feel really seen right now.
I hate, I'm sorry. But anyways, you were saying about Carol, like, I should have just be saying, I was listening to this great podcast and the host was saying that Carol is just so, she doesn't plan ahead for crap. You know, we were talking about that scene with her and Lance where he was saying what comes after, and she's like, that's not my problem. And you rattled off a few other times when she just barreled into something without thinking about what came after, like with Karen and David and other stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, you're so right.
Yeah. She's not a good long-term strategist, I would say.
Yeah. What's great about that is they're consistent with her character. She does that kind of thing a lot.
Yeah. And sometimes you need that person to make that call because no one else is going to.
Quick act.
Lance was right when he was kind of like, so what comes next? And she's like, I don't care. I don't know what. And it's like, oh, maybe you should have thought of that, you know?
There's children's lives at stake. Maybe I'm not the right person to talk about children.
Did I ever tell you about my friend Lizzie? Like, no, don't I mention her? Sadie also says,
I shouldn't be so jokey about that.
I know. Sorry to anyone who's everybody. Looked at the flowers. Sorry. interesting that the Judith narrated intro. Sorry, Sadie, I can't read today. I don't know why. I seem to have lost my ability to read. Interesting, the Judith narrated intro was Maggie focused, but I didn't feel like it was that much of a Maggie episode. Well, except that heartbreaking moment when she kills the child Walker. That was rough. Can't believe it's only 3 episodes left. Worried about the pacing and feel like there is a lot to be resolved before the finale. Looking forward to the podcast and what you guys think. Thank you, Sadie. Sorry that I minced most of that with being unable to read today.
I thought the intro had mostly groups and there was one scene with just Maggie. I didn't notice if Maggie was in all the groups though. But I didn't think it was Maggie focused except for that one scene. But she mentioned about Outpost 22 being Alexandria. Does that mean our group was never free to go before Eugene played that tape? Pamela offered them a deal. If you help me peg Lance, you know, blame all Sebastian's actions on Lance, then you're free to go back to your communities. We'll give you supplies. And it's like, well, this is a prison camp, so was she just bullshitting?
Well, you know? That's the thing, because that wasn't shaken up over a night, was it? That's been there a while, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it does shine a lot of shade on what Maybe. She was proposing there. Yeah.
Or she could have just said, all right, you know, everybody, it's no longer a prison camp, give them their community back.
You're liberated!
Yeah, set all the prisoners free and clear out. Danielle Dement Yost says, this was my favorite episode in a long time. The interrogation scene was such a callback to Randall at the farm. I thought the same thing with Daryl. It was so satisfying to see them choose to treat the common trooper relatively well in contrast with how they treated Randall. And this time they got results. Yeah, especially given that they didn't even know whether Randall was a bad guy or not. Some thoughts. Maggie's closing line was very, they're fucking with the wrong people. That was some excessive exposition over the radio, but it was great to hear Yvette Nicole Brown's voice on The Walking Dead. I started the comics, but didn't get very far, so my jaw dropped when I recognized Alexandria.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't think that happened.
It doesn't happen in the comics, so you're safe.
Yeah. Negan and Ezekiel had a very satisfying conversation, agreed. I was glad to hear them acknowledge that Negan has done some unforgivable things that cannot be forgotten. I'm surprised we haven't had any major deaths yet. The voiceover at the beginning didn't sound like Judith this week. Was that RJ or are my ears broken? LOL. It's funny because I look at this site that has a transcript when I do my notes and stuff, and it said boy and then Judith's speech. But I'm pretty sure it was Judith.
I mean, RJ has quite a distinctive voice.
Yeah, he acts like this. Can we get past the things we've done in life?
Mama! I'm hungry! Poor RJ. Poor he gets RJ. Such a lot of shit from
he's
us.
He's great. He's the best.
He's great. We love him.
We love him. On another note, I'm so disappointed that I won't be able to come to San Francisco. Yeah, that's my
mom.
I actually just moved away from Northern California 2 years ago. Damn it. It's too much for me to travel there. Besides, it's my son's 13th birthday, and I'm pretty sure skipping it for The Walking Dead is a bad parenting choice.
Happy birthday to your son.
Happy birthday. I know you will all have an amazing time, and I will be envious. If we ever do an event in Sonoy, I'll totally be there, as that is more my area these days. Thank you both, as well as Karen and all your co-hosts over the years, for this amazing place where I can dive deep and talk with other people who understand my love for this show, because no one in my, quote, real life does.
Aww.
I have truly loved every moment, and I'm always disappointed with when each podcast ends. It has also been fun listening to you figure out how to pronounce my name. You've gotten extremely close. Lastly, I'm pretty sure Lucy and I would be the very best of friends if we ever got the chance. Thanks for everything. Aww. Love you both.
Thanks, Danielle. I'd love to talk more. It's a shame you won't be in San Fran, but I hope you have a great time celebrating with your son. Rinaldi Calixte. It was cool seeing 4 pairings of characters. Gabriel and Rosita working together to find their daughter Socorro, aka Coco. Carol comforting Maggie after she lost Herschel, and Maggie realizing Carol had been where she's been with Sophia was a great callback to season two. I hope Connie and Daryl start dating. It was cool seeing them work together to kill a common trooper. Seriously, guys, get together already. Negan and Ezekiel were charismatic leaders of strong communities. They had wives that were dangerous. Lucille was planning on killing Negan for cheating on her. I think she and Carol would have been best friends. Symbols of power, Tiger for Ezekiel and Lucille the Bat for Negan. They're both in my top five favourite characters, but they're complete opposite characters. Negan had enough self-awareness to say Hope wasn't my leadership style. That was your thing, Ezekiel. I appreciated that from Negan. It was also cool seeing Ezekiel repeat Jason's arguments on why Negan can't be trusted, that Negan did bad things and deserves to be criticised for it. I want to see these two in more scenes together. I'm eager to see what our three sets of characters do in the last three episodes. Aaron's group is on the way to Oceanside. Ezekiel's group is planning a prison riot. Finally, Maggie's group seeks to take back Alexandria. Are Rick and Michonne on those trains? I hope so. As Abraham Ford once said, the Walking Dead series finale needs Rick Grimes.
Yeah.
Those are his last words, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, Oceanside. I don't know if we talked about that. I had a thought, but I forgot to say it, that now that we know Alexandria is a prison camp or whatever it is, it makes you think Oceanside may have suffered a similar fate, you know? Who knows?
Well, yeah, there is that. There is that. I'm a little worried about my wee buddy Luke.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're going to find out in the next episode.
I hope so.
Scott Carl Witham says, where the fuck is Rick?
Where the fuck is Rick? Scott Carl Witham, where the fuck is he?
Yeah, I think I was hoping he would be in all eight of these, but I still have hope. I now think that if he's going to show up, it'll probably just be in the finale, and maybe it'll be something like you said, where it's after whatever we'll see in his miniseries.
I hope so. That would make sense to me.
Yeah. And then we can see his happy ending and then see how he got there or something like that.
Yeah, I would really appreciate that.
Yeah. Maybe he can be the one who's like taking care of all the kids.
He's like, I run daycare now.
Michonne. We got several calls. Here's one from Rennie.
Rennie.
Hey, Jason and Lucy. This is Archmaester Rennie. I'm just calling in to give you my zombie sound.
Yay.
Yay. That was a zombie dragon. Okay, don't get bit by a zombie dragon.
I love Rennie. That's amazing.
She's melding the shows because Rennie does a great book talk segment on our Dragon Cast that covers House of the Dragon. I mean, great is underselling it by a mile.
There's a chance that Rennie may be George R. R. Martin. We just don't know. She seems to know more than he does. So, you know, we'll see.
I've never seen them both in the same place. By the way, Rennie's going to be on the Zedhead show this month. We're going to talk about our favorite TV characters of all time.
Oh, nice. I like that.
All right. Here is Jessica.
Hey, Jason. Hey, Lucy.
Hey.
This is Jessica from Georgia. I cheated, guys. I'm not even going to lie to you guys. I cheated. I'm watching episode 21.
It's okay.
Literally, I am, let me check, 12 minutes in. I'm trying my hardest not to cry.
Oh.
All right. Good night, honey. Good night. I'm talking to my podcast fam. Okay, bye, guys.
I don't know what part that was. Oh, it was probably with Carol and Maggie, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe.
I think so.
That was fun. All right, here's one from Randy.
Randy.
Hello, Jason, Lucy, and the rest of the Zed heads. This is Randy. I figured since you have a new format to your show and I have a cold, this would be a perfect time to give you 7 minutes of pure zombie sounds. So here we go.
Amazing.
Well, actually, first, I have a couple thoughts on Outpost 22.
Oh, let me
fast Daryl torturing someone again. And being that my full name is Randall, I've always had a connection to Daryl torturing somebody.
Oh, of course.
I just thought it was a little bit funny that until the group actually walked into the room, Daryl wasn't torturing this guy. He was being fairly nice to him. And then the group walks in and all of a sudden he's like, where the hell are my kids? Then he pulls out a knife and he's actually about to torture him, which
he's got to keep up appearances.
He's got to keep it up, man.
Wasn't cool. Yeah. Oh, so what? No, I was torturing him. I really was.
It has me wondering if every time he's been quote unquote torturing somebody, he's actually just been like, look, I don't really like torturing people, but my group's going to come in here any minute now and I've got like an image to uphold. I'm just going to need that information from you, so I really don't have to do any of these bad things I don't like doing. Right? And he hits a jukebox machine and Easy Street starts playing and he's like, hey. One other thing that I do that I wonder if anybody else does is whenever one of these like nameless side characters gets killed off, like one of the common troopers, I imagine the fact that they have survived like 11 years in the zombie apocalypse only to be taken out by a stray bullet fired from the back of the truck where Maggie was fighting. I mean, a lot of these guys have survived longer than big characters like Shane and Jesus, and they probably have like an interesting zombie apocalypse story. And it's crazy to think that one or two of them end with somebody just, you know, getting stabbed in the armpit. And they're like, oh, all right, well, I was 2 days away from retirement, but I guess this is where it ends.
As sad as that is, that's like kind of life, you know?
Yeah.
Death is probably pretty undignified. I mean, who knows how I'll die? Probably on the toilet or something like that.
I mean, it probably happens more than we know, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Overall, I like this episode, and the fact that they're headed to Alexandria is comforting. I've been in that camp of, where is the show going to go with only a few episodes left? And there's something about coming home that feels like it might actually tie the knot nicely. So I've been enjoying your show as always. I look forward to the next episode. And I'm supposed to give you 7 minutes of zombie sounds. actually, I want to get it just right. So I'll call in with that next week.
Don't wait. We'll be waiting for it.
Oh, we love it, Randy. Thank you.
That was
you.
A great message, Randy. Thanks for calling.
That was
in.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. Randy's
cool. He's in the Zedhead group too. And he recently did some podcast art variations for another show. Really talented
he's great.
Guy.
Love
and he
him.
Paints zombies into like revolutionary American soldiers as zombies on plates and stuff like that.
That is so niche. I love it.
Yeah. Okay. Here is Robin.
Morning.
Robin
here. Oh my God, this episode. Our people are back doing what they do. Mm-hmm. Finding each other, impossibly, in the woods, taking out Commonwealth soldiers, interrogating people in barns, only this time more gently and prayerfully, tricking the Commonwealth people on the radio. They're amazing. They're amazing. That scene with Maggie and the little Walker kid. Oh, my God. The Commonwealth wouldn't dare turn one of our kids into a Walker, would they? Would they? Oh. And the scene with Carol where she's telling her not knowing is the worst. The look on Carol's face is just, it's priceless. Carol knows exactly what not knowing feels like. She knows exactly about that. And then my favorite, Rosita, being a sassy, bitchy person, going, you got a better idea? I'm all ears. She's the smartest and most capable one of the bunch, you know. And, of course, she knows how to get the radio online. Any radio, anywhere, she can do it. It's great. They're fabulous. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Negan and Ezekiel, see how that works out. But I can't wait to see them in their home turf of Alexandria going through the houses. Channeling Rick, saying Pamela does not know what she's looking at here. Just amazing. She won't know what hit her.
Yeah.
Such a good episode. I really liked it. The other thing I wanted to do was say, I guess if people are talking about what you guys meant to them, I may have mentioned this one other time, maybe in a message on Facebook or something, but I had never listened to podcasts before I started listening to yours. Yours was the first one that I found and started listening to because I didn't have anyone to watch The Walking Dead with. And I caught up with you, I think, maybe when you started the full season podcasting, and I went back and caught up with the other ones. But it all occurred, you know, of course, 10 years ago or so, which was a very lonely, solitary time for me. And you guys really helped me get through a lot of stuff. And I really have appreciated it. And I have come to feel like we all really know each other and aww, we're friends. And that's a valuable, valuable thing. Jason and first Karen and then now Lucy and the co-hosts, you have done a remarkable thing with this podcast, bringing so many people together. Oh, now I'm going to get all sappy. but I did want to tell you that you have meant a lot to me. So, there's that. Anyway, until next week. Thanks, y'all. Bye.
Robin. Thank you, Robin. That was so nice to hear. Aww. Yeah.
We love you too.
Just the friends we've made along the way.
What if the podcast was the friends we made along the way?
It was. It totally was. Like, that's been the best part, is just meeting and interacting with so many people and getting to share these conversations about this show and everything. It's great to have something already to talk about, you know, because then you can get to know people. You don't have to fumble around for what you're going to have in common or whatever, and then you really get to know people, and that's been really, really super fun. So thanks, Robin.
Really has.
All right, here is Tej.
Hey, Jason and Dr. Lucy. This is Tej from Wisconsin, and I know that a lot of the suspense about the main characters surviving the next three episodes is ruined because of the spinoffs. Fine. But I have this theory. I don't think the children are going to make it, at least some of them.
Oh, no.
Negan, Maggie, they're not bringing a couple kids to New York City. This is not Five O Goes East. This is not a family road trip.
That's true.
I don't think Herschel's going to make it. I just hope his death is different than his dad's. Or his grandpa's. Or his aunt. Grandma.
Oh my god.
I was gonna say it for the news section, but they renamed the series again. It's now Walking Dead Road Trip. Family Road Trip. So
Lake M Vacation. Holiday Road.
Dead Vacation. I don't know, man. I don't know. That seems too dark for the show now. I think they're too chicken to do stuff like that.
I hadn't
that.
Realized how crap of a lineage Herschel has in terms of like traumatizing deaths. Jeez, like, Mom, what did Grandpa die of? Well, fun story, actually. Like, oh.
I know. First they got his leg and then they got his head.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, who did he say? His grandpa, his father,
his aunt.
Yeah. Yeah,
Maggie's mom was in the barn, I think, wasn't she?
I think probably, and some brothers.
So
too.
Presumably, like, bitten to death. Ugh. Awful.
Yeah. Ooh. I think he's gonna make it. We'll see. I really do though.
I hope so.
Here's good old Steve Brown.
Steve Brown.
Hello, Walking Deadcast. This is Steve, and this is for Outpost 22. Okay, that was a really quick monologue by Judith there, and now we're into the show. Oh, and there's my girl Maggie, gets her hood off. Stupid, this is the most heaviest sleeping guard that there is. Was that a Wilhelm scream there out the back of the thing? Weren't they in like a whole column of vehicles? Why isn't, like, and they were really close together, it seemed, I think. Well, that was the quietest F word we'd had so far, but Rosina gets it this week. Oh, little kid walker. Oh, that dislocated and putting the shoulder back into place. Oh, This is heartbreaking to watch Maggie with this kid walker, but she's got to do it, right? She's got to.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I know it's coincidental, but I guess it is a small area they're in, and everybody could end up together at once. Is Daryl talking about joining the Force when he was at the Commonwealth or something before the fall, you think? Oh, so Designation 2 is taken somewhere far away, like overseas. So now they can shoot and hit something, like people running away. Just said the title of the episode. Did they say it before or earlier? Anyway, mic drops. Oh, these walker kills this week are bloody. Another F word from Daryl this time? Oh, we got a motorcycle chase. Nice. That was cool. Now, laying down the bike and sliding it under the tree so that it hit the guy. That was great. I don't know if it would work in real life, but anyway. Thank you, Ezekiel. Finally, somebody telling Negan the words he needs to hear. Don't worry, Negan. We know you're going to get out. So they turned Alexandria into Outpost 22. Great. Ooh, it's getting just good. Great. That look in Lauren Cohan's eyes. Ooh.
I love that. I think they're getting one F word an episode at the moment, and I'm quite enjoying it.
he He thought he heard two, but I don't know if there were two.
I think someone mouths it at one point. I think Rosita was like, fuck.
Right. His reaction to Maggie with the kid walker, you know, he was very moved by that, and it makes me feel bad about my cavalier reaction.
It makes me feel like I might not have feelings anymore.
Yeah, but I just got a hint of a feeling around it when I heard Steve. Yeah, because she's missing her child, and so it's got to be on her mind. Yeah,
that was very sad.
All right, here's Owen.
Owen.
Jason and Lucy, this is Owen in England, having just watched episode 21. God, three to go. I'm absolutely loving these final episodes, and the impatient side of me just wants to know what's going to happen, but at the same time, like, I feel just sad that it's coming to an end. This episode was terrific. It reminded me of the first half of the episode, especially reminded me of the, I would say, second half of season 4, where, you know, the guys were split up and they're trying to get to a destination. They're all sort of coming together. And rather than being over several episodes, this were only maybe over 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I just love that you're seeing, like, different mini storylines going on within the episode to try and get to that one point to find what's going on with that train. And then it turns out they're going to be in Alexandria.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that our Commonwealth folk don't know Alexandria and its ins and outs. Its sewer system, which Carl took them all down when the episode where he died, and he kept them all safe there when Negan were attacking. I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Commonwealth don't know about that, so surely that's going to play into our guys' hands. Oh, Christ. We still don't know what's happening with Aaron and those guys.
Nope.
I want to see that. You know, we've only got three to go. Someone's going to have to die soon, aren't they?
I think so.
What if we just never saw Aaron again? Would that be good?
We'd be like, bye, Ross.
We're going to have to
He's
lose
probably fine.
Like two or three of our main guys. But yeah, overall, great episode once again. I'm really excited for the next one. I don't want to wait. But I just wish it went out. Okay, hope you're both well. And yeah, I'm signing out. That's one excited Leeds-based Walking Dead fan. Dead.
Love
That's
it.
Cool. I'm glad he's into it.
Representing the North.
Here is Gemma.
Gemma.
Hi, Jason and Lucy. This is Gemma, calling from South Wales. Sorry, I haven't left feedback in a while. It's been a bit busy. I am calling about feedback for The Walking Dead episode 21. Really good episode. It did feel a bit, some bits were a bit filler, like it was a setup kind of episode, but it was still nice to see interactions between characters such as Connie and Daryl, which was nice, a reunion, and Maggie and Carol had a nice chat. And the most exciting one for me was Negan and Ezekiel, which I don't think that we've had any interaction really with them before that I can recall, but Ezekiel kind of reminded me of you, Jason, in what he said and the point that he made. He was like, I haven't forgotten what you've done, you know, forcing women to marry you and ironing people's faces, just like very much in the forefront of Ezekiel's mind, and the way that he stayed away from Negan for as long as he could, really. And it kind of, it was just so interesting to see the two of them together, because they were both really strong leaders of communities, which they both lost, and the different leadership styles in comparison, Negan and Ezekiel. And I was just thinking about how good of a leader Ezekiel was, and how, you know, well, the kingdom did really, you know, and it's unfortunate that the only reason it fell is just because the whole place was run down and not working properly, and you know, they had to leave. And I think Ezekiel lost a big part of who he was when that happened. But I really hope going forward that their plan does work and they can work together, because it's really fascinating to see it. And what else? And Maggie with the walker little boy, it was really heartbreaking. And he kind of looked to me like Henry, maybe, like little Henry.
Oh,
from,
yeah.
You know, who was killed previously on the show. Yeah. But, yeah, it was sad to see a little boy walker following Maggie, and that she didn't really want to have to kill him. But, you know, she had no choice in the end. And, again, with the stormtroopers, they just die, like, so easily. I really do not see the point of those uniforms that they have to wear because they protect from nothing, basically. But, yeah, I'm sad also that there's only 3 episodes left, and it's just heartbreaking for me. But anyway, I look forward to the podcast. Lovely to speak to you, and I'll see you soon. Bye.
Yay.
Bye, Gemma. Bye, Gemma. I think the uniforms, I don't know this, but I was thinking maybe they're mostly to protect from zombie bites.
They're very focused on the groin, would be my observation. Like, the groin makes and sense. Butt are fully protected, but other bits, less so.
not as much. Yeah. I mean, she was mentioning how Ezekiel's kingdom went down because it was run down, but I think also part of why that failed is because the saviors killed most of his people. That had something to do with it too.
That had a little bit to do with that. I would say.
And talking about their leadership styles, like they're strong leaders with different leadership styles. I would say that Negan's style is much like Al Capone or some other mob boss, you know, crime boss.
I once went to a town in Canada that was like obsessed with Al Capone. They were like, Al Capone came here once. I was like, all right, that was like the main selling point. Go to Moose Jaw, everyone. It's actually quite nice, but they really like Al Capone there. Don't know why.
I mean, they love Negan, so kind of makes sense. Same.
Same thing.
All right, here is Jason from San Diego.
Jason, hi Lucy. This is Jason from San Diego. Calling with feedback about Outpost 22. I wanted to, since we're getting towards the end here, it's the first time I've called in, so I wanted to say thanks for your guys' coverage through the years. And I say that being somebody that has caught up in the past year. I discovered you guys' Podcastica network via Yellow Jackets and have contributed there, but this is my first time with Walking Dead. In any case, with this episode, I feel like they are kind of feeding us into the Maggie and Negan side project. Everything, to me anyway, appears to be leading Maggie to search for Herschel, Negan to search for his new wife. An unborn baby. They seem to have been put on a separate train or a separate trip, and it seems to me that once these 3 episodes kind of clear up, Maggie and Negan take off in search of, you know, their respective family. Just so happens they probably find out that everybody's in New York and they go together. So there you go. We might have 6 episodes of that or however many they decide. Any case, thanks again for all of the coverage you guys have provided. Hopefully you keep it going for all these side projects, and hopefully they're all better than Fear. Well, have a great day. Oh, I've never, ever left a zombie sound. Let me try one.
Amazing.
Like a about to puke zombie. I like That's so cool you found us through Yellow Jacket. It's so weird to me because we've been doing this show for so long, but to have other shows we've been doing more recently be people's first entry into everything that we do, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. I really like that. Thank you, Jason.
I think he's got a pretty good likely idea for a likely story with Negan and Maggie teaming up to go find their families together.
Yeah, there has to be a believable motive. Otherwise, why?
And last here is Anwen.
Anwen!
Hi, Jason and Lucy. I absolutely love this feedback show format that you're doing for the rest of the season. It's really great, and I'm super enjoying hearing everybody's voicemails who haven't called in before. It's really, really cool to hear. This episode left me a little bit meh at the end. I don't really know why. It was just a few bits and pieces that didn't kind of work for me. But in retrospect and having listened to your podcast, it was one of those ones that I enjoy much more looking back, especially after listening to your coverage. And I agree, all of the little character moments, seeing everybody together, especially Carol and Maggie, was lovely. My thoughts on Negan, I thought it was really interesting to watch all of the kind of just quiet acting that JDM was doing when they were getting told what to do in that truck, and also later when he was outside being kind of ordered around and smacked around by that guy. He was kind of had a bit of a blend on his face of, I've been here before, so I know exactly what this all is about, but it's usually me on the other end of the bat, and him sort of having that remorse of what he's done for other people, but also kind of acting all meek and mild, but a little bit on the inside, like Rick in the train car, you don't know who you're fucking with. It was really cool to watch, and I did absolutely love that they acknowledged his past when he was talking to Ezekiel. And I had the same thought as you, Jason. Have we even seen these guys interacting just one-on-one before? So I thought that was really great. Anyway, only a few left to go. It's getting very exciting. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Yay.
Oh, yeah. Negan's character, actually, I don't know if I paid enough respect to the story, but the way JDM played it and just watching his character in this last episode was super intriguing. I thought it was all great storytelling, and JDM acted it great too. And to see him trying to get to help get them out of there because he wants to go get his wife and child and everything, it's really good.
Yeah.
About him having this sort of, I've been here before. Not so much when he's like going over to the soldier and be like, oh, excuse me, sir, but can I go with the other groups?
Can you imagine if someone in the lineup would be like, I'm so sorry, someone's pregnant?
I forgot to put my contacts on and I need to go.
Can we just have a minute? No.
That'd be pretty funny if someone did that. We have more emails. We have like 3 emails to read.
Amazing. So
whose turn was it? I think it was your turn.
It was mine, yeah. So our first email is from John Green, who says, Dear Jason and Lucy, you guys suck. No, he doesn't say that.
The end.
The end. He says, you guys are great. Thank you, John. Thanks for all your insight and fun conversation about The Walking Dead. I am a big The Walking Dead fan, especially as a rabbi and teacher. It gives some street cred with my students, and I have some great moral discussions with my students. Hmm. I probably agree with Lucy about fear, except for season 5, episode 12, when they meet the rabbi. If you want to learn more about how many great references there are in that episode, let me know. Do you know, I would actually be interested in that. I know I am behind with contacting you, but if not now, when? I know you guys spoke about the wrestling match in the Commonwealth and how it was football in the comics, but COVID probably made it easier as wrestling. My thought, never having read the comics, was that it was the perfect symbolism for the Commonwealth government. They are both fake, but if the people like it and do not complain, then let's keep it going. Just my thought. I also had a question. Do you think Pamela was really going to let them go back to Alexandria, as it seems pretty clear now that she was lying? It's a prisoner colony now. That did not change overnight. Thanks again, and don't get bit. But if that rabbi gets bit, does he still make a blessing before he takes a bite? I don't know, but that's amazing.
I like the Commonwealth, the wrestling thing. That's cool. They're both fake.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
That episode, I think I remember liking it or being intrigued by the rabbi, but I could just be making that up.
He's just wasted as a character now.
Oh, ever since.
I like that actor.
He's just there. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just there. But that, I remember that episode, it was interestingly shot, and it was, if it was a different show from Fear, I would have been like, this is obviously rich with symbolism that I'm not getting. Because it was Fear, I was like, oh, this is probably just garbage. So I would actually be interested to know a little more.
Yeah, I remember being intrigued with the character and the storyline in that, to some extent anyway. But then it's just ridiculous how every once in a while you'll just see him standing behind another character or something.
Yeah, it's like, the rabbi's there.
And it'll like wave and nod. thank you,
Shalom,
John. Thank you, John. That was great. Mike K says, "Hi, Jason and Lucy. So pleased to hear you guys doing a separate feedback show for the run-in. I usually watch the new episode Monday evening UK time, which is too late to contribute to the regular podcast. So this is my first time emailing in.
Brilliant.
Awesome. I first encountered The Walking Dead while living in York as a student. Woo! Around 10 years ago.
Mike. We still talk about you. No, I'm joking. I don't know your history.
Mike K. I had just started binging a little TV show I had heard about called Breaking Bad, while my girlfriend at the time, much more into horror than I was, started on The Walking Dead. Our relationship was on its last legs, and we would watch our respective shows on our respective laptops at either end of the sofa. That's a sure sign. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. That's horrible. while she had absolutely no interest in drama involving chemistry, I kept glancing over at her screen, curious about the adventures of that guy from Teachers in the ZA. That's Andrew Lincoln, by the way. Shortly after we broke up, I dived into The Walking Dead and quickly realized it was more than just a run-of-the-mill horror. It was a show about grief, resilience, and found families. I sought out podcasts to share in my newfound love. Hello, Chris, Jason,
yay.
Jason, Karen, and Lucy. That's really cool.
Amazing.
And the rest is history. Years later, and I'm now a father, working my way back through the podcast archives to keep me sane while on endless buggy walks with my own little ass kicker. I recommend anyone who hasn't heard Chris and Jason over on the Talking Dead podcast to give them a try too. That's who he's talking about. And they're like 600 some episodes in, but they're freaking great. And if you've heard us for any length of time, you've heard our crossovers that we do at the end of every season, this season, which will not be an exception, I hope anyway.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
He goes on. The story even goes full circle with Podcastica covering the final season of Better Call Saul. Great job on that. Thank you. Yay. So much fun to cover that show. So good. I still can't quite believe it's all coming to an end in a matter of weeks. It seems like only yesterday I was watching Rick wake up from his coma. Although, to be fair, that may well have flashed up in a recent episode prologue, too. about a week ago. I sadly can't make the trip to San Francisco, but will be with you and the Zedheads in spirit. Thank you so much for jabbering away in our ears over all these years, offering insights and building this community of friendly voices I can touch in with week to week. Incidentally, Lucy, I always thought of York as the perfect city to hole up in during the zombie apocalypse. Half the city is already fortified with walls. The minister offers a fab lookout spot. There's a river for transport, power, and water, a medieval weapon shop, and most importantly, many breweries. What do you think? Mike in Brighton, UK.
Well, Mike, why do you think I live here? I'll tell you who else agrees. Karen's a big fan of York. Yeah, we have walls, we have a barbican, which is like a gate to the city where you can throw boiling oil on people. It's one of the only intact ones in Northern Europe. Minster, great lookout, it's very flat here. Thoroughly recommend. Could not agree more. That was great, Mike. Thank you. Hello to you, little ass kicker. I hope you're doing okay.
That was great, too. And I was reading this not in the correct tone at first. So if I sounded like I was making light of you breaking up with your girlfriend, let me apologize for that right now. That's horrible. But I very much
Mike, stop listening.
I
Mike's
know.
Like
He's
done.
Like,
He's
you're,
like,
you're
they're cruel.
I'm moving
rat
on to
bastards.
Chris Jason's podcast.
The Canadians are much nicer. We're like, yeah, they are.
Really are. That's true.
They truly are.
Thank you, Mike. Hope you forgive me.
We got an email here from JC Harris, which is a name I recognize. Hi, Jason and Lucy. First time emailer, long time listener. I've made a comment or two on Facebook in the past, and I am a Patreon member, so I participate in some of the side group chats, but I've never really taken the time to write in and thought I would since we're winding down. Ugh. About 8 years ago, on a Sunday night, my now husband and I were hanging out at his house, and he asked if I would watch a show with him that he was super into. Always a tense moment in a relationship, JC, I find. Enter Zombies. I did not get the appeal. Apocalypse, zombies, gore, it was definitely not my thing. Inside, I was sort of like, what the hell is this guy into, and what is happening here? But I figured I would sit there and be supportive, even if I just had to close my eyes now and then. Oh, JC, the first date I went on with Peter, we went to see a doozy of a film, so I super sympathize. JC goes on, I had no idea who was who on the show, where they were, what was going on, and just didn't have much investment. I kept watching the episode though, and all I remember is there was this young girl trying to escape a hospital with some creepy ass, awful people in it, and she nearly gets out, but then she dies right at the end. What the fuck? Poor Beth. It was crushing to watch the reactions of those who loved her. I don't remember anything else that happened in that episode, but I was shocked, disturbed, saddened, and completely hooked. I watched the show for a few years before finding your podcast, which, come to think of it, I may have found Game of Microphones first and then rolled into the Walking Dead cast. But however it happened, I've been listening to you for quite some time, and while I know the show needs to wrap up, I'm quite sad that it's coming to a close. Not just because I enjoy the show, but because you guys and this podcast have been part of my daily commute for years, and I'm going to miss it. Hopefully the Walking Dead spin-offs are good and you cover them, but still, it'll just be different. I really can't thank you both enough for your thoughtful analysis, quick wit, and dedication to making such a great podcast. Also, while I have the floor, a giant thank you to all of the various hosts and guest hosts that make up the entire Podcastica family. You all are amazing, and the depth of knowledge, insight, and excitement that you each bring to the shows you cover is very appreciated. I am incredibly thankful that all of you are a part of my life's journey. Aw, GC. As far as show feedback, on the latest Walking Dead cast episode, Outpost 22, you guys mentioned wanting Negan to be more vocal about how sorry he is for the things he has done. I wonder if he will ever do this. I think some people are better at showing their feelings through action, and in doing some of the things you mentioned, watching over the kids, trying to be helpful and do better, he is showing this he is sorry. I don't know if it's quite in his character to have this super feely apology for all the awful shit that he's done. I mean, I know people who have apologized and seemed regretful for shit they've done, and then their actions don't back that up, so the words are just meaningless. Mind you, I can totally argue the other side of this whole thought, and this is just where my head is at today. Fingers crossed Rick and Michonne show up during The Walking Dead proper before it's over. Warm regards, JC Harris. Oh, JC, what a great email. And yeah, I mean, yeah, that's interesting. It's like love languages, isn't it? Like, what
kind of, but I don't, to you? I don't need him to be super feely. I just want to know that he understands that what he
Jason
did
just
was
wants
wrong.
A notarized written apology that he can put on his wall.
Yeah, I guess he kind of did do that with Ezekiel, if you can believe him. But as I said, he was trying to get something from Ezekiel, and it was really quick. So, you know, I don't expect him to be all, "Oh, I'm so sorry," or anything like that. It's just, but to be like, "Yes, ironing faces was bad."
<You know? laughs> Okay, and Negan, we're going to ask you one more time. Was this bad or right. good?
Here's a test. Flashcards. Bad or good? Show a picture of Dwight.
Pass.
Wire on his face. I don't know. It
I
was
know.
Fun.
No,
know. No.
Pass. No, wait, what? Wrong one.
You know, it's interesting. She says she came in on the Slabtown episode, and I could swear we got an email from somebody else recently who also came
I
in
was thinking that.
On that one. So weird, because that was such a crappy...
It was such a bad, depressing version of the show at that point, but yeah.
It really was. Anyway,
and
thanks,
Tyrese dies just before or just after, doesn't he?
Around that time, I think, yeah.
Oh, thanks,
era.
JC. It was a great, great email.
All right, that's our show, episode 488. Thanks so much, everybody. Appreciate you guys.
It was brilliant. Really, really enjoyable.
We'll keep doing these feedback episodes separately for the next, what are the three more? For the next three more.
Yeah.
If you want to write in or leave us a message. I mean, I don't say it often anymore, but we have put up posts every week on our Facebook pages and in the group and everything for each episode. Mm-hmm. So you can post there, or you can email us, you can send in a voicemail. All that contact information can be found at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows, some of which we mentioned during this episode, Andor, and we also have...
Oh, yeah.
Great. What's ongoing? Dead to Me, that's happening.
Dead to Me, yeah. Oh, you know what, too? I forgot. We should have had a new segment just for this, but they just announced that The Last of Us starts January 4th. 15th or somewhere in there.
Oh, holy shit, that's soon.
2 weeks into January.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we're nice gonna you guys need to be ready for a rebrand of this podcast. So the podcast art is gonna change, the title is gonna change. We're trying it out and see how that goes, because we're really gonna be focused on The Last of Us once Walking Dead is over. We'll still in one form or another cover the spinoffs, but we're gonna really dive into that show, so that's coming. Yeah. Soon. Next episode of this podcast, Walking Dead season 11 episode 22, Faith, which to me says something about maybe Gary Gabriel
Gary
Gary Gabriel.
Favorite character, Gary.
That's his first name. Nobody knows that.
Gary Gabriel. I'm just thinking it's that George Michael song, you know, dun, dun, dun.
Oh, you got to kill the zombies.
I think it'll be a really uplifting episode, I'm sure.
And fun and great. Okay.
Fun well, games.
This very episode is made possible by Patreon supporters like Leaf Johnson, I love that name, who pledged their support at patreon.com/JasonCabassi. So thank you, Leaf. Pledge at any level to get ad-free versions of each episode, guys.
Yay. Thanks, Leaf.
All right. That is our show.
Thanks for listening. Don't get bit.
Jay Tower Hughes.